FF.
Yeah, with no players. It's going to be Tebow versus Johnny Manziel in the XFL Bowl. Oh, joy.
I'll go out for the New Jersey, New York Hitmen. Don't you worry. It'd be sexy.
You could probably make it, too, man. You look like you got a little size on you, man. How's your blocking ability?
My feet need a little bit of work, but we're good. Don't worry about it.
Fair enough. We need to get you a transplant, man, so you can get rid of one of them left ones you got.
Wow. I ain't dancing. I'm playing ball. There's a difference. It don't got to look barely. Pretty. I just got to pancake your ass. That's all it is.
Yeah, there's barely a difference, though.
I'm not Lynn Swan. I ain't no receiver. Don't need to look pretty when I'm fucking laying on you.
Joe Thomas doesn't have footwork.
Oh, he does. He's beautiful. Like, don't get me wrong.
I wouldn't call him beautiful, but, you know, whatever.
His technique is beautiful.
Hold one, arm drag. Hold two, arm bar. Hold three, the moss-covered, three-handled family grandunzel.
I still got 200 more. I got 200 more holes to lift.
This guy is a bulldozer with a wrecking ball attached. He'll leave a ring around your eye and tread marks on your back. He's an animal. He's hungry. You ain't been hungry since Supreme Clientele. Remember what you first told me when I took you in. You wanted to be a fighter. You wanted to be a killer.
New York,
you wanted
stand
to
up.
Be the champ.
Scott, you your boy in the booth, nigga.
Matter of fact, I don't want you in my
chair. About to take New York against you.
Godzilla bankroll, stole some Chileon. Yo, I ain't got it all. That means I'm barely home. Trailblazer, stay ballin' with vengeance. My arts is crafty dogs. Why y'all stuck on Laffy Taffy wondering? Yeah, how did y'all niggas get past me? I've been doing this before Nas dropped the nasty. My waddles, I did them up. Them bricks, I sent them up. My raps, I bit them up. For that, now stick them up. 10-4.
Yeah.
Buddy Tone got his money up.
Work yeah.
Still back your bitch looking for me. What? Y'all staring
yeah. at me. Yeah. Woo! I had to let that breathe for just a second, ladies and gentlemen. Shout out to Ghostface Killer, man, for anointing the latest episode of Bodies War. Where are my manners? Greetings and salutations, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to the greatest sensation that's sweeping the nation, also known as Pod is War. My name is Christopher Platt, and don't envy me, or envy me, rather. MVP, and I ain't going. Pod is War is brought to you by Chair Shot Radio Network in conjunction with thechairshot.com. Always, ladies and gentlemen, always, let me reiterate, always use your head. Now, I'd be remiss if I did not bring up my cohort and co-host in this caravan of love here. Ladies and gentlemen, put your hands together and show your love for Mr. Andrew. Don't call me Snowflake Balls. Blazz, baby.
Well, at least I got the studio applause this time. That works. I'll take that. Jesus. I need a new nickname. If anybody is available as not only moderator, but nickname enthusiast, help me out. Shoot me something. Send me an email. Just come on, help a snowflake out.
And speaking of moderators, we also have PC Tunney.
Everything you've said is true.
Andrew, how you feeling today, brother?
I'm all right. Shitty weather over here in Jersey, but it is what it is.
Shitty
How about
weather
you?
In Jersey. Isn't that just what y'all... Isn't that just weather in Jersey?
It's worse than usual. It goes from snow to sleet to rain to then it's going to be 15 tomorrow, so that means ice. And that's not going to be fun to drive to work in.
Oh, joy. So do you have an automatic start or you got to go up there, crank it up, and then go back in the house and let it warm up?
You're not funny. You're not funny. I mean... The truck is automatic. It's good. It's only a couple years old, so I think I'm fine. I don't think I'll have to wind anything up.
Nah, fair enough, man. I'm just trying to help you out. But at least you got your Jesus Christ Superstar beard going on, so your face will be warm.
I do. It helps in the cold winter time just to keep my face warm.
Ain't nothing wrong with growing a few whiskers, man, in the wintertime, man, helping you out.
You would know. I mean, you got a nice beard going on, too, yourself.
Oh, well, why, thank you. I appreciate that, man. It's luxurious. It's nice and soft, you know?
I think our moderator is a little jealous because he grows hair like a 12-year-old Dutch girl.
Yeah, man, you see that mop on the top of his head, man?
Kissing babies and hugging fat girls.
He mad because his hair looks like a treasure troll. You know what I mean? Anyway, man, what do you say we get the proceeding this evening, man? How you feel about that?
I guess we kind of have to start eventually, right?
Touche. We'll leave our grooming tips, man. That'll be the we'll do like a special grooming tips episode one time, like a, you know, a secret episode that only the diehards will know about. We'll give them like a code or something and they can type it in. We'll figure something out.
At the Beard Aficionado Pod. I like it.
Sounds sophisticated.
It does, doesn't it? That's why, yeah. I thought of it.
Well, yeah, sunshine's on a dog's ass every now and again. So, PC Tunney, man, what we got going on today?
Triple H has taken over 205 Live from Vincent Kennedy McMahon. Is Vince tooling up for the XFL?
Well, I think yes, obviously. And, I mean, the bottom line is, man, and, he's 70 years old, man. How many more years can, well, number one, how many more years around the sun does he have? Number two, how many more years can he go balls to the wall as he did? And he obviously really wants to make this football thing work because he ran it back for some weird reason that is unexplained and I can't figure out. Maybe he just doesn't like taking L's, but whatever. He's going to have to step away at some point in some time. And I think that's what you see here now. You see the chain of command kind of taking shape, man. We talked last week briefly about the Jeremy Borash signing, and you guys touched on that on the Greg DeMarco show, also on Chair Shot Radio Network, about how Borash is really going to be Triple H's, his Kevin Dunn to Triple H's Vince. And that's a good call. I like the idea of Triple H taking over 205 Live. I like what he's done with NXT. It's just a different energy. It's a different vibe. And it's just more of a fun show. It's not as rigid as the constraints of Raw. That being said, we'll have to see what he can do with the Raw brand and the SmackDown brands when that time comes. But I think this is a good thing, man. And 205 Live is trending up right now. You got Borash in the mix. He was Mr. TNA. He was basically their Swiss Army knife. I got to think that he had something to do with the X Division, and that was one of the good things that TNA had going. They really did a good job of hyping up and promoting the X Division and making that a big deal. So I think in the long run, that's going to be a good one. They just signed Ricochet, which, you know, I have my qualms about him going to the Cruiserweight brand, but that appears to be where they're going. So you arguably have the best cruiserweight in the world and one of the top five wrestlers in the world. So perhaps you build the division around him and you just keep it moving like an escalator.
Yes, Mr. Moderator, thank you for that notice that in his live debut, he did actually use Ricochet. So he's not going to go by Trevor Mans or whatever his real name is or whatever they want to call him. So that's nice to see. And when it comes down to Vince relinquishing the control of 205 Live, I mean, Triple H can't do much worse. Like, when it comes down to it, like, 205 Live was kind of a joke. It was one of the worst rated kind of things on the network. It took Enzo just being a good talker and being polarizing to actually bring eyeballs to the product. What?
I said, there you go. Get it together. That's the jackpot.
I mean, yeah, a little bit, yeah. But it took a polarizing talker who can't wrestle in the ring, really, just to bring eyeballs. And now it seems like Triple H's idea is more NXT-centric, where he's going to make it more based around the work in the ring instead of trying to invent goofy characters or something like that to have the characters progress the storyline, which, you know, I really hope that's what happens, because TJP, for example, like, he was such a damaged character because of what they tried to make him do. He's like 33 years old and they're having him talk and act like he's 14 with video games and all these dumbass references and all that other crap. When you saw his match in NXT when Nakamura was still the champ, he can go. Like, he's got some skill in the ring, he's got no skill on the mic. And it was people like that and like Kalisto, who's a train wreck on the mic, and a few others that let them do their job. Let them get their character across or let them get over because they're great athletes and stop putting a mic in their fucking face.
It's hard for WWE to do that, though. And, you know, as a ex-WCW head, that was one of the things that I'd appreciated about WCW is that they presented it as it was a legitimate sport, which allowed somebody like Dean Malenko, who was also limited on the microphone, he was able to get over just because he was just a hell of a wrestler. Even He Who Shall Not Be Named, same thing, man. They were able to get over because they were just really good professional wrestlers.
And Lance Storm, who's a Canadian we can mention.
And Lance Storm, who's a Canadian we can mention. The exact same thing, man. I don't know how well that translates to the WWE universe, man. I mean, conversely on that, you know, the flip side to that is I don't know if a character like The Undertaker or even a Goldust, I don't know how that character exists in a WCW world. So the WWE has that going for him. Like, Vince does the sizzle better than anybody in the history of the business. I don't even think that's up for debate.
True. I can't argue that one, but his stake definitely leaves something to be desired.
Well, I said, fair enough. I see what you did there.
Hey, you got it. Have you been drinking too, or am I the only one on the booze right now?
Oh man, is a pig's pussy pork?
Fair enough.
Oh jeez, we got Deliverance over in this melon farm.
Oh boy. No.
So what changes would you make to 205 Live? Would you have it taped down at Full Sail with the rest of the NXT crew? Would you keep it live? Who would you like to see them bring in? Who would you like to see them build around? What changes would you make?
The changes I would make would be tape it like NXT. That I think part of the problem with the product is the fact that it's live after people already watch SmackDown, so they're already a little tired, and then you got to sit through another hour of characters that nobody's invested in, and then before Triple H takes it over, it was an in-ring product that wasn't exactly wonderful. So the whole more intimate NXT Full Sail kind of crowd I think would benefit them a lot, especially if it's going to be more in-ring based promotion delivery, however you want to call it. So that would be nice. And honestly, the only two that I could think of, that the names that haven't been thrown around like into the dirt, would be, I just want Gargano and Ciampa to come up together with that feud still intact, because that would bring a nice amount of heat to 205 Live, and it's a already built-in feud, and they look like they fit the part. So that's what I would, who I'd bring in.
I love what Triple H has done with NXT. I love his ideas. I love the energy that he brings. He's a very intelligent wrestling mind, the cerebral assassin, if you will. I just don't know if WWE is cruiserweight friendly. I don't know if WWE can make a cruiserweight division work, because it is all about work rate, and that's not necessarily the WWE. That's not necessarily what they do. So I have my reservations. I like Triple H taking over. We'll see if he can make it work.
Fair enough. Alrighty, moderator, what's the next one?
Who wants to walk with Elias?
I enjoyed the little instrumental there. That's good.
You can talk now, man. You don't have to.
No, I know. I was just enjoying it. That's all I was getting at, because that's his theme, I think, right? And we never really hear it, so.
Yeah, I didn't know where that music came from. I didn't know that was his theme. I'm not going to lie. It sounds like a bootleg Merle Haggard.
It does. It's kind of sound like that Johnny Cash, Merle Haggard, kind of with an attempt at like heavy rock infusion. Yeah, I get you there.
With
but
Johnny Cash, man, we're not going to disrespect the late, great Johnny Cash.
Cash is amazing. I don't think many people can really argue about him. But we're talking about Elias, not Johnny Cash right now. So I don't. How can I quantify the Elias character when he was kind of a joke or a bust in NXT, when you don't normally expect that? Because if a character fails in NXT how the hell can it succeed on the main roster? But he's just superseded any expectations, and he's just become he's a main event player now. He had the main event in Raw. He technically got a rub off of Braun and Cena by picking up the pin to come in last in Elimination Chamber. Like, this is all nice building blocks for a character that nobody really cared about when he came up. Like, the gimmick was kind of cool, the gimmick was kind of neat, but the fact that he didn't have any sizzle to go with his reputation or his name, and we've seen so many others that were big in NXT just flounder, like, this, not only is it kind of an anomaly, he's, I mean, I'm a fan of Elias. I don't know if you are, but you know, I walk with Elias every week.
Well, I love Elias, man. And here's the thing, man. There are certain characters that play well to that NXT crowd. So I'm thinking your Baileys or even your American Alphas. It plays well to that crowd. And then there's certain characters that can transfer over to the WWE crowd. It might not necessarily work for the NXT, but it works in the WWE universe. And I think Elias is one of those, man. I mean, he's got the size on him. I didn't realize how big he was until I saw him up against other superstars, you know, the John Cenas and some other guys like that. He's huge as shit. He's not a bad worker inside the ring. And the guy gets instant heat. The whole, you know, the walk with Elias and the guitar, like that, the douchey guitar guy, man, that is a heat magnet. I know that guy very well from college. That's a heat magnet, man. I don't know if that's a main event character, but, you know, neither was Heather Hearst Helmsley, neither was Rocky Maivia, neither was the Ringmaster. So if they allow him and his character, don't ever interrupt me while I'm making a point. So now if they allow him and his character to evolve, I mean, he's going to be money, man. And they've got him in here. And again, the moderator kind of buried the lead here. We're talking about this because, as you said, Andrew, he picked up a huge, huge win against Cena, pinning Cena and Braun Strowman in a triple threat match, man, to get that last spot in the Elimination Chamber. So they clearly have big things in store for this guy. The thing that worries me a little bit is that I'm a little nervous that all of this is leading to a match at Mania with Cena, and Cena ultimately is going to go over, kind of like what happened with Bray Wyatt, kind of like what happened with Russo, or Rusev, Jesus Christ.
Russo.
It's because I'm staring at your beard, man. Yeah, yeah.
Thanks, bro.
Your fault. Yeah. So that worries me a little bit, because I think he does have some steam and some momentum, and he needs to go over right now. Especially considering that Cena is a part-time player at this point. But I love Elias, and I, too, walk with Elias.
Yeah, I really don't know how you can dislike him, aside from maybe just thinking the gimmick is played out. Because the last time we saw a main eventer with a guitar that got over like this, doing the douchey song thing, was Honky Tonk Man.
And yeah, main eventer is a stretch, though. Well, no disrespect to Honky.
Honky was a big deal when he had that long, 450-day intercontinental run.
That's
like, he might not have been a lifelong main eventer, but he definitely hit his stride at some point, and people love to hate Honky Tonk Man.
I thought you were going to say Jeff Jarrett, so I'm just glad you didn't do that.
Why the hell would I ever do that? He never played the guitar. He just wrapped it over Beetlejuice's head. Poor Beetlejuice.
Damn, that's true. Jeff Jarrett never did play the guitar, did he? He would come out, he'd stick it in the air. I really never thought about it. I have never seen Jeff Jarrett play the guitar. That's true.
See, we have revelations here on Pod Is War. In case you thought he had talent, he didn't. Not only can't he keep a company afloat, and not only do his matches look shitty, but he can't play that guitar. He just hits people with it.
You kidding me? Jeff Jarrett is Jason Voorhees, man. You can't kill him with a silver bullet, bro. Jeff Jarrett shall return.
Yeah, unfortunately, you're probably right. He'll probably pick up the GFW name again, you know, sober up a little bit, get him and Karen going for something, and then, I don't know, bury some other people in a baseball field. Like, what the fuck?
He'll fuck around and get a small business loan from Linda McMahon and have Melania Trump be his angel investor. And
will
right
it be
next
a small business loan of $1 million, though?
Yes.
Like, that's where I thought you were going with it. So I was a little sad.
I wanted to throw the Melania jab in there, man, because I thought it was funny.
I mean, it is. Even though it's used to look at, that's still a good jab.
I appreciate it. Yeah, thank you, sir. Thank you, sir. But yeah, man, I love Elias, man. I love the character. I like that they're giving him a push. And WWE, there's a lot of new blood in there right now, which is kind of exciting, man. I just pray that they don't fuck it up, which they probably will. But who knows, man? With our last topic, we talked about Triple H kind of seeding more power from Vince as he's going off and doing his football fantasy. And let's do that, man. Have him and his buddy Trump go run their football league. And let's see what a Triple H, Stephanie-led WWE universe looks like.
I mean, it'll probably look a little better from the eyes of, you know, you and me and like-minded, I guess, smarks, because most of what Vince has the WWE cater to is casual fans and children, and it's not us. So that's, it's kind of nice that Triple H toes the line a little better. So I definitely have high hopes for Elias. And given the fact that it seems like Cena's been treading water the last few months, or maybe even the last year, where he's put over people like Nakamura, and he seems to be a little more aloof on the mic and not quite as overly hype as he used to be, he might put over Elias for a change. He might not bury another up-and-coming personality like he did to the aforementioned ones like you brought up, like Bray and others. So if Elias gets the nice Cena rub at Mania, that could be huge for him.
Yeah, but you can't blame Cena on the burial of Bray and Rusev. Like, the wins at WrestleMania didn't help matters at all. But I kind of think WWE did a really good job of burying Bray Wyatt and Rusev. I mean, they broke him up with his gal. That was the hottest gimmick, you know, in the world for a minute, man. And, yeah.
Well, that was because Lana did the stupid thing and announced their kayfabe kind of togetherness as a real-life marriage that they were getting together, that they were together. So that was a punishment tactic, I'm still pretty sure. But I agree that Cena is not the one that buried Bray Wyatt and Rusev, but the Bray and Cena story and the Bray and Bryan Daniels story, those two big arcs where Bray ends up losing them, that definitely hurt his credibility when he was being built up to be the new maniacal, like, sadistic voodoo bad guy or whatever the hell he's supposed to do.
No, I agree. And before we move on, man, I just wanted to run this by you because you said something earlier about WWE playing to the kids and the families and stuff like that. And this is something that I've been thinking about for a while, and I've never verbalized it publicly. So I just want to get your thoughts on this, man. The WWE... And the NFL runs into this problem as well, man. At the end of the day, you know, you're selling these events as family friendly when they're really anything but. Like, there's nothing family friendly about professional wrestling. There's nothing family friendly about football. When you just strip away all the goo-goo gaga and you look at these things at their surface, man, it's dudes beating the living hell out of each other. There's nothing family friendly about that. Now, I understand why both sports, you know, present themselves in that manner. But my question to you is, how much would they really lose, you know, money-wise and whatnot, if they presented themselves as what they were, like adult entertainment, hella uber violent, and not necessarily the best thing for kids to be watching?
In today's day and age, I don't think that would work too well. I think they would be radioactive to networks, and even if they still pulled in decent numbers, enough talking heads or enough clamoring moms on Twitter or a change.org petition could be enough to kind of put the kibosh on the thing. Plus, it's also a publicly traded company now, which it wasn't back in the Attitude Era. So it's got stockholders and a board of, you know, trustees or what executives, whatever you really want to call them, that they have to kind of cater to. So for all the shit that Vince gets, I don't think it's completely his fault. I think it's just the fact that it's become more of a business and less of a wrestling show like we grew up with and like we kind of still want.
I can't argue with that at all, man, but it's just weird, man, because as society has gone more and more into the gutter and in the tank, I mean, you know, the president grabs pussy, for Christ's sake. It's just weird that WWE is trying to hold on to some moral high ground when at the end of the day, there's nothing high ground or highbrow about professional wrestling. I just think that's just an interesting dynamic.
Yeah, well, people like to change the whole narrative of a lot of things. from politics to shows you like to anything. So it's kind of accepted nowadays. And just to loop everything back around to what we were talking about beforehand, which is the second question. Elias, last out of the chamber, big thing, big pop, big push. So if he can make something of it and maybe get a nice feud to come out of Elimination Chamber, I think we can consider that a good thing. Platt?
Way to wrap it around, man. That was well played, man. You're getting pretty good at this pod thing, man.
It takes a little bit, but, you know, I'm starting to figure it out.
Yeah, I get it, man. Now, you know, I'm not going to put you over again. Go fuck yourself. So, PC, what else we got? What the hell?
This is the best ever people? Version of the SmackDown freaking intro, right? I mean, come on now. Is it not? Why is my computer not working? Don't worry, I can edit all this out.
I like how you're giving yourself stuff to edit.
I gotta.
Yeah, you could have just STFU. Yeah, you could have STFU and just kept it moving, man. You could have done that.
We should keep it in anyway. Keep it raw and natural.
Ah, raw and natural, just like Mom used to make.
You know, I wasn't sure where you were going with that one, so I'm glad you went with, like, undercooked chicken. Like, that's a good one.
You bite your tongue, Balls. My mama never undercooked chicken. Her chicken is delicious, thank you kindly.
Mom did, because she's Polish, stupid, and white. So, I know the pain.
Styles, Owens, and Zayn.
Jesus, man, this man just buried his mama, man.
Call me Eminem. It's a white people thing.
Styles, Owens, and Zayn. Talk about Styles, Owens, and Zayn.
Okay, so which one's the undercooked chicken? Like, are we just going to make... Like, okay, can't be Kevin Owens because he eats too well. So nobody undercooks his chicken. So I guess it's Sami Zayn?
I don't know, man. I think Kevin Owens' arms kind of resemble undercooked chicken. So there's that. I'm not saying. I'm just saying.
I get you. Ah, Jesus Christ. The things we come up with, jeez. You'll never find segues like this anywhere else except Pod is War on Pop. Chair Shot Radio Network. Pop. So, I guess we have to talk about SmackDown or something like that, right? Like, there's that weird love triangle between the belt, which is, I guess, the focus of the triangle, and Styles, Zayn, and Owens. And then you got the periphery players of Shane and Daniel Bryan. And then we've got Nakamura sitting in the corner just waiting to find out who his dance partner is. So he's like...
I'm going
to
beat you.
He's like the strong style artist wallflower over there just waiting for somebody to come off so he can dance. Like what the hell is wrong with SmackDown? Like, I guess it's somewhat entertaining, but it's so rehashed and shitty. You kick off the opinion basis here.
I don't care, man. Let's just fast forward this pay-per-view and get to Mania and see where we're going. I couldn't give two shits about any of this shit they got going on. I'm so pissed because the KO Sammy, or Cammy as you all like to call, there was so much potential in that storyline, man, and it just seems like it's just been so muffled, and everybody's been in it. Shane's now in it. Daniel Bryan's in it. Trump tweeted about it. Pete Diddy made an Instagram post about it. Like, everybody and their mama is in this thing, and it's so convoluted, and it's so just, meh. You know, they took what could have been a great concept and turned it into meh. And I understand what's going on, because both Raw and SmackDown have pay-per-views prior to getting to WrestleMania, so you got to do something to hype up those pay-per-views. I understand it. I get that. But let's just fast forward all of that. Let's just get to the Mania hype at this point, man. Now, the only good thing that I can say has come out of all of this is that I really don't know where they're going to go for WrestleMania. I thought it was in the bag. We were going to get a KO Sami Zayn match at Mania, which, you know, if you give them 20 minutes, they could probably steal the show. Mm-hmm. I don't know if that's still where we're going to go or not. I just want them to get there at this point, man. The Shane, Daniel Bryan, all those people. I know a lot of guys that we talk to, a lot of the internet smarks and the dudes that sit at home in their grandma and mama's basement eating Tostina pizza rolls and Hot Pockets are clamoring for Daniel Bryan to get back in the ring and think that that's what it's going to be. I don't see that happening. And even if he does get back in the ring, they're not going to put him in there with a novice like Shane McMahon where he could possibly get himself hurt because Shane tries to kill himself in every match.
I mean, that's true, but you know, also with how much you bring up Tostino's pizza rolls and Hot Pockets, I really feel like you're like reaching for some kind of sponsorship. So maybe we should turn that into like a gimmick or something like that. Yeah, have a nice segue for your Tostino's pizza rolls and your basement dweller Hot Pockets and all this other stuff. Like you might be somewhere there like that. That could be good. Maybe we can throw in that newly flavored like Diet Coke because, you know, it's got like those three or four different flavors now. Like we could really have a market for this one.
What flavor is Basement Dweller Hot Pocket, though? What flavor is that? Because I imagine it smells like sweat socks and masturbation grease.
My answer would be the one on sale. I think that's the one.
Fair enough.
Ham and cheese. It might be pepperoni. Nobody knows. It's on sale. Who gives a fuck?
Fair enough. Yeah. I think it smells like sweat socks and non-female-assisted ejaculation.
I mean, that might be what the entire room smells like, so the food's not going to help. But, you know, to each their own, I suppose. Sure, why not? Anyway, SmackDown. Yeah, that whole thing. I'm kind of in your same boat where I just don't care and I want to get to Mania. But let's extrapolate a little bit and let's maybe fantasy book a little bit since we can't just both shit on it and then move on because that's not good podcasting. So
I guess it is pod is war, so we got to start warring at some point in time, right?
Somewhere, yeah, that tends to help. And this must be kind of awkward for people listening, expecting us to just be at each other's throat arguing. So fantasy book it.
Well, it would help if Andrew had a neck for me to be at his throat. Well, so
you got to get through the beard first, buddy. Bring some clippers, and then you'll be able to find the neck. Don't you worry about it.
I'll fight him.
Thank you. Anyway. So, what was I saying? Oh, yeah, fantasy book. So, let's for shits and giggles say Sami Zayn finds a way to beat AJ Styles in this three-way. Then we get Zayn Nakamura 2, which is beloved from the people that watch NXT. So, that's still going to be a big enough match for the smark crowd that people aren't going to be too upset about not getting Styles and Nakamura. But, if I were to do it, and if he's healthy enough, Styles versus Daniel Bryan would make a lot of sense leading into Mania because Styles looks at it like Bryan screwed him over at every possible turn the last like couple months. So why not want to actually just like Pele kick his beard off?
I too wish that the world was made of rainbows and butterflies and sunshine and just goodness. Yeah. We're going to have Daniel Bryan at Mania.
Well, we don't believe you. You need more people.
Pop. My sentiments exactly. I couldn't have said it better, Mr. Sean Corey Carter. Thank you so much, man. Guys, and the gals out there, shout out to the 44%, man. We love you.
I actually like how that's like now, the 44%.
Yes. Daniel Bryan is not wrestling again in the WWE ring, guys. I hate to be the one to be the bearer of bad news. Also, there's no Santa Claus. The Easter Bunny isn't real. Kevin Spacey is Kaiser Sose.
No, the Easter Bunny's real. He touched me at the mall last week.
That sounds like a personal problem that you might want to consult a counselor and a law enforcement agency about.
They told me that the Easter was just coming early. That's how that one worked.
He came early, late, and often in that scenario.
Exactly. I'm glad you picked up where I was going with it. So continue with your anti-fantasy book. Come on.
Now I'm just sitting up there imagining you stuck to your couch from Easter Bunny semen, so you just kind of threw everything off.
Hey, you know, furries need love, too. You just say yif a couple times, and it works.
Now, if Andrew tries to get up, you're going to hear...
Little did you know, I took my pants off before the pot started.
Oh, Jesus. Talk about raw chicken.
Ah, nice callback. I like it.
With Lyle's thighs there, man. At least pluck the feathers off, man. Please and thank you. But guys,
my legs for you. All right, I don't know where we're going with this, but that's weird.
That did get weird. But Daniel Bryan. Speaking of goat faced bearded people, Daniel Bryan is not wrestling again in the WWE ring, guys. I know that you're excited about it. I know you want to see it. I know you think it's going to happen. You probably have already fantasy booked Daniel Bryan versus The Undertaker in a casket Hell in a Cell match and all that good shit. It ain't happening, man. I don't know where they're going with this. I don't know what they're trying to set up, but that's not where this is going. Okay, we're not gonna pull the rug out from under people from Styles and Nakamura. Like, they're not gonna cock tease us like that, man. I can't see that happening. That's a public relations nightmare, man. They're giving the Smarks their WrestleMania main event, and I can't wait to see it. Also, I'm not gonna lie to you, Zayn and Nakamura. It wasn't as good as everybody else thought it was, man. I actually preferred Nakamura's trilogy with Samoa Joe to the Sami Zayn match. But that's not where this is going, man. Ultimately, I think somehow, some way, by hook or by crook, we end up with Cammy feuding at Mania.
I mean, I wouldn't hate that, don't get me wrong. I'm just trying to think of a way to actually make this stupid storyline interesting. And if now, I don't hate and I don't completely disagree with the fact that Daniel Bryan's probably not wrestling, but with how hard he's been pushing it, how hard they've been referring to it on TV, on Twitter. Didn't he just have a video of him and Brie with the baby in the ring where Brian says something like, if she crawls to me, then I wrestle again? And they had the little, Birdie Joe or whatever the kid's name is, crawl to him in the ring, and he's like, yay, I get to wrestle again. So it's so pushed, and he's being not subtle at all about the desire to come back, that I think they're going to have to cave at some point, or they know they're going to lose him to ROH or New Japan or something like that. And that would be a lot of eyeballs and a lot of money that they're leaving on the table to go to somewhere else. So if he's able to wrestle again, I don't think the WWE would turn down a payday.
Well, that's game, though, man. And that's him trying to call himself trying to force WWE's hand because of everything that you just said. I just can't see them going back and reneging and clearing him at this particular point in time. Now, that being said, I didn't think they would ever clear Kurt Angle either. So, you know, what the bloody hell do I know? So there's that. So I guess the best I can say is stay tuned.
Fair enough. Alrighty, that's a decent enough spot to stop this topic. Mr. Moderator, next one.
And frankly,
dude, I said stop the topic. Don't, and frankly.
Okay, well, neither one of you, don't interrupt me when I'm adding a point on at the very end. I just think Cammy and AJ, they just need to bang and just get it over with. The sexual tension is killing me inside.
That's not even a point. You just wanted to say it to be all snarky. Fucking A. Anyway, and? Voice in the sky. Voice in the sky.
And? God damn it, shit.
How do you think the faction war between Chaos and LIJ will play out over in New Japan?
All right, so I'll take the lead here since I'm the resident weeb, so I'll give you time to marinate on this topic.
What the hell does weeb, what does that stand for?
Well, you're not well-versed in the inner workings of the internet and 4chan and all that other stuff.
Oh, you're not well-versed in the internet.
Oh, weeb.
That stuff.
All right, Mocky McMoxon, stop it.
Anyway, good one.
Hey, I wasn't trying to go good on that one, but still.
Clearly
it achieved what it had to. A weeb is somebody who is heavy into Japanese culture and basically wants to be Japanese. It's usually like the neckbeardy fat white guys that have like an anime pillow as their girlfriend and, you know, are constantly watching stuff and like they have like a suit of samurai armor in their basement and that they try to dress up in and, you know, use a katana. Those kind of people.
Okay, fair enough. So you masturbate to the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles in Akira, huh?
Akira, good one. That's anime. Ninja Turtles are not because it's not made in Japan, so.
Well, that was the point, man. That was,
I'm just making sure you're aware.
Oh, you're just making sure I was aware. Oh, he told me, guys.
I wanted to know what it came from, and weeb was just because 4chan used to like to censor when people were basically making fun of Japanophiles. So they just made up a bullshit word called weeaboo.
Whoa. Hold on now, man. Let's back up here just for a second. What in the bloody hell is a Japanophile? Is that what I think it is?
Think about the word. What is a file? Like, a file means love. So Japanophile is somebody who's in love with Japan. So,
like Japan boys and girls, or
like the concept of Japan and everything about it. Jesus Christ. The Japanophile, not Nambla. What the fuck are we talking about now?
What the fuck are we talking about? What the bloody hell is Nambla? What are you doing, man? What are these words coming out of your mouth, man?
That's an acronym, and you know what that is.
No, I don't.
Do you not know?
I get buns, man. I don't know this.
It's an organization. It's like the National American Man and Boy Love Association or something.
Human
like
girls of age or human women of age.
No. What are we? Wait. No. Anyway, stop it. No. We're not going off into all this crap. We did that last night with pedophilia. We're not doing it again. So, anyway, Japan. Jesus.
Well, why did you Japan? Say the word, man? No. I was alluding, man.
I know you were alluding.
Well, we're off the air now. So thank you guys for tuning in to Buy This War. We appreciated it. It was fun.
Sheesh. Off the rails so far. We had a train in Seattle from a couple weeks ago. We just fell onto traffic and killed people. Like, what the fuck? Anyway, so Chaos versus L.I.J. God damn it.
Speak of Chaos.
Hey, there we go. That's a nice way to tie it all up. We're kind of ungovernable, and that's Chaos. There we go. The moderator's going to kill himself at this point. We're not going to have any more SportsCenter music. Anyway. Oh, so the entire New Beginning Tour has been focused around the factions Chaos, which is headed by Okada, and LIJ, which is headed by Naito. Because all of the members of LIJ have a shot at the Chaos members' titles, because the only one with gold in LIJ was Sonata and Evil, because they had the tag belts. So Sonata and Evil defended the tag belts against Okada and Goto, because Sonata and Evil both have singles matches on the 10th at New Beginning Osaka, and Okada and Goto told them, if you want our singles titles, you have to put your tag titles up first, or fuck you, we're not doing it. So they put up the tag belts on the 6th. They defended it. Evil pinned Goto, so that was kind of a nice thing there. In the leading up shows, when it was Sapporo and they were doing the multi-man tags, Okada was calling out Sonata the entire time, because Sonata basically, he's like Japanese Randy Orton, where he's very talented but very cold and doesn't talk a lot because his whole gimmick is Cold Skull. So he's supposed to be the brooding, quiet, edgy guy. So he doesn't talk a lot. Okada was trying to draw out some kind of fire, some kind of promo from him. And Sonata very, very simply picks up the mic. Mic dropped him one time. And then the next week, next show, he just picks up the mic and says, I'm going to end you in Osaka. And ends it there, goes forward. So on the 10th, we've got Hiromu versus... Hiromu's the one with Daryl the cat, so he's the crazy guy, versus Will Ospreay for the junior title.
Ooh.
We've got Evil versus Goto for the NEVER title, and we've got Sonata versus Okada for the IWGP Heavyweight Championship. So those are the three big championship matches. There's an undercard where it's like Bushi versus Ghetto, who's Ghetto's the booker, and he's the manager that comes out for Okada. And it's also Yoshihashi, who's basically the low man on the totem pole in Chaos against Naito, just because Yoshihashi needs a match, because fuck Yoshihashi. But either way, how do you see these matches playing out now that you have a little bit of background?
Well, for starters, man, how tough can Sonata be, and he's named after a car? For starters.
Spelled differently. Isn't the car spelled like... with a T, like an OTA? I don't even know now. God damn it.
Now, now you're just making stuff up, man.
No, that was a good reference. I'll give you that one.
Yeah, I thought that was well played, man. And then you got the one brother that's named after a Spanish cat.
Goto, not Gato.
Yeah, Yeah, you said Gato.
Goto. Hiroki Goto.
Goto where? What? Oh, he's a repo man when he's not wrestling? Is that what we're doing now?
Maybe.
That's what we're doing? They've got gimmicks?
Maybe he's the repo man and he came over to Japan and just rebranded completely. Yes, that's exactly what it is. Come on. You know
who man.
People are. You have seen New Japan. You know what I'm talking about. God damn. Thy name is Platt.
Man, I love pissing you off, man. What can I say?
I've noticed. Anyway, so let me get your feelings on how you think the matches are going to shake out.
Well, it sounds interesting, man. First and foremost, I think Okada is going to go over because he's arguably, you can make an argument, he's the best wrestler in the world. And I think that's who they're going to build their company around moving forward. Because I don't know what they're doing with Omega because they took the U.S. title off of him, which was kind of weird. I don't know what that's happening there. And let me ask you this, man. Do you think that at some point in time, we don't know how long this Jericho relationship is going to last with New Japan. Do you think at some point in time we're going to get an Okada-Jericho program? I know they've got their big show coming up and he's going to be fighting Naito. I know that's where that's heading when they come back here to the States. But do you think somewhere down the line we get a program with those two?
If Jericho picks up the win over Naito, then yes, I think he has a valid reason to want a shot at Okada or whoever the IWGP champ is, which it's most likely going to be Okada. But if Okada does lose at this upcoming show, that makes it easier for Jericho to challenge him because if Okada is not the champion anymore, Jericho doesn't need to beat Naito necessarily. He just has to look good, do the Jericho thing, and then just jump Okada for no reason, kind of like what he did to Naito at New Year's Dash.
But see, I can't see Okada losing anytime soon, man, because, you know, and correct me if I'm wrong here, obviously you're our resident New Japan expert, but, or Japan expert, period. You know, you probably got, you probably got some sushi in your pants right now. But, New Japan doesn't necessarily flip the titles all willy-nilly like we do here in the United States. Would I be correct in that assessment?
The main ones, they do not hotshot. I mean, they have lower card ones like the six-man title, which I think they don't care about because that thing flips on the daily almost. Like, that's just a joke title. But, I mean, Okada's held it for nearly 600 days at this point. And if, which I know you didn't, but if you watch some of the shows on the 5th and the 6th, the entire crowd was behind Sanada. Like, the crowd is thirsty for a new champion. It's not that they don't appreciate Okada, because unlike the Western crowd, which they just hate Reigns because he's pushed, like, the Japanese crowd, like, respects what Okada does, and they just want to see it change, but they don't outright hate Okada. So, it could be a good thing. I'm like, the random upset has happened before. You've had people win belts when they didn't really expect it. And that's also a good way to play into it because maybe Okada's too arrogant and Sanada just, you know, sneaks up on him and gets one in because Sanada is equally as athletic. He's extremely decorated because he's from Muda school. So he's from Old Japan. He had a nice stint in TNA where he was the X Division champion when him and Muda and a couple others went over there, I think a couple years ago. I forget if it was like 2014 or 2013. So it was still good. It built up Sanada's profile. Everything in All Japan built up his profile, and he's considered very high mid card in New Japan at the moment, so it's not out of the realm of possibility where he'd pull the upset. And we did just see the Eagles beat the Patriots, so we should understand like upsets happen. So do I expect it to happen? No, much like yourself, I think Okada's going to win. But if you were going to have a surprise win, Sanada'd be a perfect guy to put it on.
But, you know, with his budding car empire, man, he really doesn't need the New Japan belt at this point in time, man. Like, just let him go build his cars, man. They're doing well over here in the States now, so he's got that going.
Not as good as Tesla, though. Tesla's in space, man.
Yeah, I was about to say, yeah, they just sent a Tesla up in space, man. How crazy is that?
I mean, that's pretty damn crazy, honestly.
Shout out to Elon Musk, man. What the hell? But this is, man, you whites, man, y'all melon farmers think y'all gonna find another, you've already found another planet. Y'all think y'all gonna destroy this planet and leave it here for us, man. Nah, melon farmer, we coming with you. You're not leaving us here to be destroyed.
Hey, it's not like we said you can't come too. Damn it.
Yeah, you kind of did, though, you know.
Well, I know, I didn't. So.
Well, not you personally, no. But yeah. It's like, hey, Blacks, man, we know we took the planet from you. You can have it back now. It's about to explode in 5 minutes, but we'll be over here on Planet X, man. You guys figure that out.
Hey, they're giving you 5 minutes. That's all you really need, right? Like, come on.
How magnanimous of you all. Thank you. The man in the hood is telling us it's time to move on, man. You see him?
He is. So, since you wanted to bring it up that, you know, us whites don't give you anything, how about you kick it to your brother from another mother, and then we can move on to the next topic after that.
Don't patronize me, white boy.
Hey, you're the one who started it, so don't even come at me like that.
Oh, thank you for throwing me a bone. I so do appreciate it, boss. PC, what topics we gonna have left?
That's not promotional what we're going consideration to next.
Paid for by the following.
This is your boy Kenny Killer telling you to make sure you check out thechairshot.com, bringing you breaking news, interviews, podcasts galore, everything pro wrestling. Make sure you check it out, thechairshot.com.
Always use your head. Shout out to my main man Kenny Killer, by the way.
Good save.
Have my moments.
Last topic today, why the lack of minority champions in the past for pro wrestling, specifically, quote unquote, Platt, melanated people.
Oh, God. Coming off that last topic, Jesus Christ. I don't think I want to touch this one, so. Platt, you go with your melanated friends, all right?
Shout out to alt-right Andrew in the house. Yeah, pop.
Hey, you stop. I didn't shave my head yet.
Yes. Yeah. He got the, he's got the, what is it? The bevel razor on layaway.
How did you know they support that movement?
All right. Let me, okay. I want to make sure I say this right, man. So give me a little room to breathe here, man. First and foremost, let me say this. I'm not under any false notions, man, or any of that, man. I know what this is, man. At the end of the day, professional wrestling is a white man's sport. It is what it is. That's just what it is. That being said, number two, Vince McMahon would push a one-eyed, one-horned, blind purple people eater if he could make a buck out of it. So I understand that. That's neither here nor there. But the one thing I like about sports, and we're going to throw professional wrestling in that basket as well. The great thing about sports, not just the competition and the elite playing the elite. I like to look at sports from a sociological standpoint because it's a microcosm for society. So in other words, whatever is going on in society and whatever type of people that we have in society, we have those people in sports as well. And it's a smaller percentage of people, so it's easier to kind of analyze and draw different conclusions from. As far as I'm going to bring this home, trust me. So WWE, they suffer from the same issue that society suffers from. And what I mean by that is that here in America, we're conditioned to see people in stereotypes. Now, that's not just black people, just people in general, man. We're conditioned to see people in stereotypes. Now, it becomes problematic when you talk about black people because, you know, those stereotypes are used to justify a lot of the fuck shit that ends up happening to us here in this country. But with the issue of stereotypes, black people are not allowed, particularly black men, and I love the women, but we're talking about black men here, black champions. Black men are put into a box and are not able to be seen as three-dimensional, nuanced characters. It's you're this, you're the thug, or you're the bookworm, or you're this and you're that. They're not able to be nuanced characters, and that ties into WWE because it's the exact same thing. Now, I understand that professional wrestling is based on stereotypes, and everybody, to a certain extent, is a broad stereotype in professional wrestling, but WWE sees them have a couple of slots for black wrestlers, man. Either you're part of the announce team and you're basically the butt of all the jokes. Either you're the happy-go-lucky, like the New Day or Rich Homie Swan. Every now and again, they'll have the angry black. Think the Nation of Domination or Mark Henry in his Hall of Pain run, which was awesome, by the way. They'll put you all together like they've done with Apollo Crews and Titus O'Neil and others. Or, inexplicably, they'll put you with Goldust, which why that has led to some entertaining content. It's just weird. I don't understand what the, I don't get it. Maybe it's the Dusty connection. I don't know. But the issue is that they see black wrestlers in a certain light and in a certain manner, and they get saddled with certain characters. And there's no upward progression. They're not allowed to evolve. They're not allowed to see that upper level. So not saying that Vince necessarily says, well, God damn it, I'm not going to push a black guy because, Bobby Lashley was going to be pushed to the moon and it just didn't work out. There is a certain level where black wrestlers are seen, and it stunts their growth and development as performers and as characters. And I think that kind of has something to do with it. So, for example, let's say that they would have look at Titus O'Neil, just for an example. And I know Smarks, he's shitty in the ring. I get it. I understand that.
Yes, but
he looks like $1 million, and he's one of these guys that if this was real, he looks like he would really whoop everybody's ass. And he can talk. He's good on the mic. So let's say that they gave him the same treatment that they gave, say, a Braun Strowman. They put the blanket around him. They protected him. They put him over like $1 million. They let him get some wins against some jobbers. And then they ascended him to the top. But they don't even see him in that light. And that's where I come from. And no disrespect to Braun. I love Braun Strowman, man. My Get These Hands shirt is on the way. It's in the mail. But, all due respects to Brian, it's not as if we're looking at the reincarnation of Ricky Steamboat here.
You're right on that.
But I just feel like there's a certain level where black wrestlers in WWE, and not just WWE, because I mean WCW, to their credit, they did have two black world champions, but they also only had two black world champions. And I feel like WWE is leaving money on the table, man, because with the changing demographics in this country, you're leaving out a whole segment of the population, man, that also enjoys professional wrestling. And it's kind of opposite to everything else that we see going on in society and professional sports. Because, black people, we dominate most of the major professional sports. But then you have this. I'm just going to let it go, man. I'm going to let my co-host get in here, man.
Hey, you could have kept going on a little bit more. It seems like you're very passionate about this topic, which, I mean, it's a good topic to talk about. Like, everything you said is completely true. That even though everybody is stuck in some kind of stereotype, the black stereotypes are usually seen as lower card, lower rung, because society used to dictate that black people were lower on the totem pole than, white people, because of that whole setup with the whole white-black thing I think you were talking about a little bit ago. With the concept of white people in an upper class, correct?
Yeah, we talked about that a little bit off air. I'm not going to bore the people with it going into that spill. That's actually for another podcast that I would love to talk about that. But yeah, you're absolutely right. And yeah, it's just, there's a limit to where they're seen. You know what I mean? And there's a limit there. There's a cap there somewhere, and they're not allowed to grow or progress out of those roles, which is kind of frustrating. And I know a lot of people are going to throw The Rock out there as the counter example. But my counter to that would be that I argue that a lot of The Rock's success in professional wrestling and again in Hollywood is because he is racially ambiguous. So The Rock can be anything to anybody. You know what I mean? He can be every man. He's literally every man. Because, in 50 years, everybody's going to look like The Rock anyway. But he's literally every man. And it's not as if he identifies necessarily as black. And the WWE clearly doesn't push him as such. He's kind of, I don't want to say he's transcended race, because that shit white people say. But, I mean, he's The Rock. Like, you don't even think about him in terms of, of racial classes. He's just The Rock.
No, you're completely right. Because, he's tan-skinned. Like, he doesn't fall into one category or another, just like you said. I mean, he did the Scorpion King, which was, basically he was playing Egyptian, which if you ask most people when they fill out a form, Egyptian is considered Middle Eastern, not African. So the fact that he's got a perfect complexion to be considered whatever people want to fit him into, I agree with you there. It's very loose to use The Rock as an excuse. That's basically like white people when they say, I'm not racist, I have a black friend. You know what I mean? Like,
which I'm yours, but go on.
Hey, I've got more than one. We've been over this. More than one. God damn it. Anyway, here I am trying to support your point, and you're just being an ass. God damn it.
I got a bunch of balls, man, but please, go ahead,
no,
please.
That's fine. So, now my question turns into, do you think it's a slow burn with a group like the New Day? Because your Titus point, that's fine, but after primetime players, like, folded, what the hell was his name? Darren Young? That was his partner. Darren Young and him tried to have a feud here or there, or tried to sort of get back together, and then his injuries piled up, and lack of direction kind of screwed them over there, and Apollo Crews is kind of up and coming still, so it works to kind of put them together because they both had no direction. But then you got a group like the New Day, which they've been together, what, 3-4 years? And they weren't over in the beginning because they were playing like the snarky, smarmy, shitty heel. And then as soon as they went to be more face-like and more fun-loving, everybody loves them. So that's got to break apart eventually. So don't you see that as the WWE's kind of slow burn to push them? At least Xavier, Big E, maybe Kofi, but I'm only not counting him because he's a little older. He's been around for, what, 10, 11 years? So they might not see as much stock in pushing him as they would somebody younger like a Big E or a Xavier. Don't you see that as them kind of positioning them in a point of prominence, and they're always on TV? They're one of the biggest merch sellers. Like, can't that be the stepping stone to break the glass ceiling, so to speak?
It could be, but my fear with the New Day is that WWE has a "if it ain't broke, don't fix it" approach with that. You know, let me just keep it a buck and a half, man. Some of the stuff that the New Day does, it's cringeworthy to me. Like, I like them as performers, and I like the gimmick. I like the act. I like what they've done with it, because they literally took a shitty gimmick and they got it over just through sheer talent. So I appreciate that, but some of the shit they do is cringeworthy. I just had to throw that out there. I would like to think that that's where they're going, but I mean, Kofi was over like Rover for a long time, man. I mean, Kofi was consistently, no matter how much they buried him or didn't push him, he was consistently, you know, a top 10 merch mover. And you know, the statistics would back me up. And you know, there's this big groundswell on the internet now about them pushing Big E to the main event level. And obviously, I second that emotion wholeheartedly. I just don't know if that's what they're going to do. I would, you know, wishful thinking, I would like to think that that's where they would go. Or even Xavier. I don't really see Xavier as a main event player just because, you know, he's a little smaller. And his offense, we've talked about this. If you're a smaller guy, man, you either have to be phenomenal in the ring or you have to be uber aggressive. And he's neither. But I love him as a character. I don't know if he's going to be the main event guy. I think Big E is the one there. He's just got the intangibles and he's got the, you know, he's got age on him. I just don't know if they see him in that light. And I that's kind of what I was trying to get to, man. I think black wrestlers, there's a ceiling and they see you in a certain light, and there's no room for advancement in that.
I mean, I can understand that to a degree, because it's been supported over the years that, what, WCW had two with Ron Simmons and Booker T? Was there any others? Can you think? Did I miss one, Putt?
Yes, sir.
Who'd I miss?
No, I said yes, sir. I agree with you.
Oh, I you cut out for a second for me, so I wasn't sure. So, and then on the WWEF side, we've got, what, Mark Henry, The Rock, if you want to consider it.
Well, see, I wouldn't even consider Mark Henry or Booker T, man, because that was still the secondary title. Like, any title that's on SmackDown is going to be considered the secondary title. Now, you could make the argument, because of right now the world title's on SmackDown and the lineage that goes with that title, that that is the more prestigious title. But we all know that whatever title is on Raw is considered within the company the more prestigious title.
Oh, no, that's true. So I get that your point was the portrayal of the world title wasn't as important as the WWE Heavyweight Championship. But, I mean, you still have to kind of give them the credit there. And then Bobby Lashley, just like you said, was going to be pushed hard. He had all the belts in Impact at some point. So I think we're starting to slowly turn a corner. But in the same respect, I think it also comes down to the word that our wonderful moderator used to kick off the question with, the minority aspect, where I think they're trying to rationalize it percentage-wise. Like, if most of the wrestlers are white, or at least appear white, then more of them will get the belt. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I know what you're saying. I mean, you know, yeah. Well, I mean, you know, most of the golfers were white, but, you know, that black guy, well, those two black guys, if you want to count Vijay Singh in there, they, you know, they kind of wreck shop.
I get you. Well, I mean, hopefully they are turning a corner and we can actually get somewhere with it. So yeah,
I'm not going to hold my breath on it, man. Unfortunately for me, man, I fell in love with the genre of pro wrestling. And sometimes being a black guy, a pro wrestling fan, it's like being in an abusive relationship. So I'll keep tuning in and I guess we'll see what's happening, man. But that being said, our moderator is telling us that it is time to wrap it up here.
Yeah, we're getting the go home from the referee here.
Yeah, why don't you just say something nice about black people and wrap it up? You got nothing, Andrew, really? Nothing?
What do you want me to say? I haven't said anything negative the entire time. You're the one that decided to go with the cliche yes, a massive thing earlier, so don't even come at me with saying mean things about the melanin aficionados that we have listening to the podcast or watching wrestling.
Oh, Jesus. And our one black listener just tuned out and is going to leave us a bad Yelp review. Andrew Balls, man, let the good people know where they can find you.
It's only Yelp. No one gives a shit. But on Twitter, you can find me at IWC Warchief. And in case you think that I was really just terrible and that one black listener just wants to really hit me up with some hate mail, hit me up at AndrewBelez@thechairshot.com. Platt.
You can find me on Twitter at TheRealCPlatt. Andrew actually does write every now and again, and he's not bad at it, man. You can catch his writings and his articles at TheChairShot.com, TheChairShot.com, TheChairShot.com. Always use your head. Commish, you got any parting words? He has nothing. All right, for it. Andrew Balls for PC Tunney. My name is Christopher Platt. Thanks for tuning in to another edition of Pod is War. And until next time, shalom.
Your scar